God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Grab your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians. It's one of Paul's earlier works. 1 Thessalonians is his first letter, and when you read it, you discover that it just does not have all of the theological truths that we have grown accustomed to seeing in Paul's writings, but 1 Thessalonians dealt with very basic concepts. And as with all of the Pauline epistles, it creates a problem among the audience, and there are people who, just as they do today, come in and try to take what is taught and what is preached and filter it through human understanding and draw the wrong conclusion. Now, we must resist certain behaviors. We must resist the natural inclination to backbite and gossip. I did not say you would always be successful, but you have to resist the natural inclination to backbite and gossip. You got to fight it. You can't just give in to it and talk about people. Secondly, when we hear something that we don't necessarily agree with on the surface, to run and tell somebody else what someone said, taking it completely out of context. Now, why are these things essential? Because what we're going to study today will probably take a few weeks, as all of my sermons do, so that's nothing new to you Bethelites. But I want to dig into some why. Why? Many of the truths that are given to us in the Bible contain who, what, where, and how, but not so much the why. There is a phenomenon developing in the body of Christ. Only in the body of Christ do you see this being exhibited to the degree that we are forced to contend with. Christianity was never designed to be a religion, nor was it ever proposed by God to have religious tenets. When you look in the Old Testament, you find that when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was his desire to have a relationship. This was identified by the fact that he wanted the tabernacle right in the middle of the tribes. There would be three tribes on each side, because the tabernacle is a rectangle. So three times four, the four sides of the rectangle, would be 12. So there would be all 12 tribes would be stationed around the tabernacle, thereby testifying that God wants to be in our midst. Unlike the God of the Babylonians, the God of the Hittites, and even the God of the Egyptians, all of those gods maintained distance from their followers and disciples. Our God was the only God who wanted to live with his people, and became insulted when you created anything that looked like him. Our God would become angry when you tried to craft a statue or something to represent him. So he even put it as a commandment: thou shalt have no other God before me. Now, as Christianity progressed down through the years, especially after Jesus died, went on to heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father, supplying what the body needs because he's the head, and working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, the things of God are now given to us through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Everything is through Jesus by the Holy Spirit, so that that would connect you and I into one grand body. Something is happening. As the church began to evolve and we became extremely aware of our culture, our country, our surroundings, we unknowingly became what we beheld. And now it is almost difficult, almost impossible to extricate ourselves, to remove ourselves from what we've become. This is identified by what Paul is going to address to the church at Thessalonica, who is, these Christians are upset about Paul's first letter. Upset because it touches a nerve. It deals with holiness. It deals with sanctification. And these are not normal truths for religious people. Religion has always been the consummate search of man for a spiritual plan. So as a result of that, we develop a religion. We develop denominations because we want to consolidate our beliefs into something manageable. Now, Martin Luther never wanted a Lutheran church. John Wesley never wanted a Methodist church. Calvin never wanted a Calvinist Church of Christ. He never wanted those things because when you put all of their doctrinal teachings together, it all pointed to Christ. Each one of them had one goal in mind, to remove believers from the curse of organized religion. Since Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, we're back into that position again. We've come right back to organized religion. The Bible is pushing for a neck. I hear my daughter, keep it simple, Dad. Looking for a change in us, a new beginning, a renaissance, if you will. Not of religious understanding, but of reconnection with God. I would submit to you that the majority of us are growing in our understanding of the Bible, but falling away in our connection with God. We are word rich and spirit poor. Now that opens up Pandora's box to help us understand the most difficult, what I believe is one of the most difficult parables in the Bible. But in order to get there, we have to lay this groundwork. So when Paul addresses this issue of backsliding, if you will, he tries to address it from a perspective that goes along with their concern. Their concern was prompted by two things that Paul wrote. Number one, the return of Christ. The return of Christ was a new doctrine. They couldn't quite understand it. And they were feeling that maybe they missed the rapture. They couldn't quite comprehend the doctrine of imminence at any time and then hold on to the mindset that it's coming later. And so that caused a stir. And then you have the Judaizers that are coming in saying, Paul lacks the credibility to speak for the church the way that he is, and cause them to pull away from old Judaic teachings. So they're confused. This is the first missionary journey. He has not yet established character the way he would later. Things are not so good. When word gets back to Paul that his authority and his doctrine is being challenged, he writes what we call the second letter to the church at Thessalonica. The hub of the letter, the central theme of the letter, was to eliminate the growing concern of spiritual deficiency and to cause them to be mindful of being deceived. It is the job of an apostle to clarify, to correct improper doctrine so that the people would all pull in the same direction. He says to them in chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor word nor by letter as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. So in other words, don't you get nervous because someone just said the end of the world is coming on the 23rd of September because we've had an eclipse of the moon and you're going to see, or a solar eclipse, and don't get troubled because somebody sets a date for Jesus to come. They have a 50-50 chance of him of being right. Because since nobody knows when he's coming, he could come on the day they say it, but he's not coming because they said it. He's coming because God sent him. So you could say every day you get up, Jesus is coming, and one day you might be right. That don't make you a true prophet. Then it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there is a falling away first. And then it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now here's where we have the conflict. Paul says, the day of the Lord, the final day, the end time event that we're all waiting to participate in, the return of Christ, that cannot come until there's a falling away. Now elementary Christianity says that the falling away is the apostasy, the abandonment of faith, and a mass exodus, if you will, from the church. That people will just leave the church in droves. Now, while they are leaving the church, they're not leaving because of this. They're leaving because of a misrepresentation from pulpiteers who refuse to live according to their calling. So people have become tired of the hypocrisy.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10117P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit EricLambertMinistries.com. EricLambertMinistries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit EricLambertMinistries.com and add to your digital library today.